There is nobody like the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everyone needs the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because He's almighty, all powerful, all capable, and all merciful, and all loving. Amen. Amen. And if God is like that, you need Him. You need someone who is almighty. Almighty means He can do anything. Means there's nothing too hard for Him. Some things are too hard for you. Everyone gets to some place in their lives where something is now too hard for them. It's too hard for you to do. It's too hard for you to get to. It's too hard for you to reach. It's too hard for you to understand. It's too hard for you to comprehend. It's too hard for you to bear. Everybody gets to some place in their lives where it's too hard for you. Now, when you get to that place where it's too hard, you need a God for whom nothing is too hard. Hallelujah. Amen. And that kind of God must be almighty. Amen. Amen. So you need a God like that in your life and have an active relationship with Him in order for you to benefit from His might. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm looking around because I'm hoping I can find something I can use for a pulpit today. Right? You can give me your seat? Yeah. Not bad. Okay, thank you. There's another one. I see something else behind there that you can use. Okay, how about if I sit on it? So that way I can put it here. Isn't it? Then I can share with you from the Bible. Amen. So you need to find something else. All right. Amen. Now, today I want to share with you for a short time on faith. Amen. I'm going to share with you today and next week and perhaps the week after to share with you about faith. Amen. So let's call it the ABCs of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I'm already excited about the message I'm about to share with you, I tell you. All right. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. This morning we celebrate you because we realize there is no one like you. That no one can affect our lives like you do. No one can touch our hearts like you do. No one can intervene and step in into our situations like you do. And no one can make the impossible possible like you can. And that's why we come to you this morning with our hearts open wide unto you and unto your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak to each of us. Minister to us the word of God. Let the word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, let that light come alive this morning. Let that lamp be turned on. Let the light shine in our direction and give us faith and give us hope and give us courage to move on and to step on in life and into the things you have ordained for us. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit as we teach the word of God this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Who is like the Lord? No, nobody. Who is like the Lord? Nobody. Who is like the Lord?
No, nobody.
All right, amen. High five someone and say, who is like the Lord? Nobody. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I know you feel real cool this morning, but you're not the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Now turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and from verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11. Well, let's start from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the Bible says, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, just take that verse and break it down a little bit, and you immediately start to understand the elements that make up faith. Do you understand? One of them is that faith is substantial, isn't it? Then faith has to do with things we hope for. So most likely what you're talking about when you're walking in faith is nowhere near you. You can't physically see it. It's not something that has materialized yet, because it's something you hope for, isn't it? Then it says, it is the evidence. You see, and there it starts to kind of feel good, because when you talk about evidence, you're talking about hard facts. You're talking about reality. So first, you see, look at the way it goes. It says, faith is the substance. Substance sounds like you can feel it. Then suddenly it disappears in, it is hoped for. Do you see what I'm saying? Then it comes back in evidence. Then it disappears again in things not seen. Can you see that? Yeah. So it looks like when you're walking by faith, by definition, it's a zigzag journey. Now you see me, now you don't. That is what it means to walk by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. But now, verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, without faith, whatever faith is, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without it. Wow. It is impossible to make God happy if you don't have faith. It is impossible to meet God's standards if you don't have faith. It is impossible to be able to walk with God if you do not have faith. And faith is the substance of things we hope for. It is the evidence of things we do not see. And the Bible says that without this faith, that means without walking with this substance of things we hope for, and without being full of the evidence of things you cannot see. You cannot see it, but you are full of evidence of it. Wow. It says, without it, you cannot please God. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. So how many want to please God this morning? Amen. Yeah, I want to please God too. So if we want to please God, then we really need to understand what this faith thing is. Because it looks like without it, it is impossible. It is impossible means not possible, isn't it? Yeah. What does what not possible mean? It means it can't be done. What does it can't be done mean? Impossible. And impossible means what? Not possible. And not possible means what? It can't be done. Hallelujah. So you can see that many people try to please God. But the element or what God requires to please him is not even perfection. Because the Bible is not saying that without being perfect, it is impossible to please him. Isn't it? Is it not good news? Because most of our problems come from, and most of the guilt we have when we relate with God, even the fact that we come to God sometimes and we feel so terrible and feel so bad, is because we are guilt-laden and laden with sin and full of the remembrance of our failings and our shortcomings and all the expectations we failed to meet and so on. And we feel that because we are disappointed in ourselves, God must be even more disappointed in us. But the good news is that the element without which we cannot please God is not perfection. God didn't say that without perfection, you can't please me. Hallelujah. And that is good news, at least for me. I don't know who is joining me in this. Hallelujah. It's good news for me that I don't need to be perfect to please God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not that I'm not trying, going to try to do my best or try to be good. But then you see, the scripture says even our best effort at being good, it says our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. I mean, your best effort at being good all by yourself, your best effort at putting your best manners together and behaving and putting up your best behavior is like filthy rags before God. Nobody is good before God. The only good people before God are those who are coming to God and are claiming goodness through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God only sees you as good when he looks at you through the filter of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus Christ, suddenly your appearance changes. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is not by perfection that we please God. But God says that if you have faith, which is that you have the substance of things you hope for, do you see, that things you only hope for feel very substantial when you are concerned, and that something you are yet to see, you seem to walk around with evidence of its existence. He says when you can bring yourself to that place, you make God very, very happy. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'll tell you why God is very, very happy with that. Because to start with, to relate with God, you need faith. God is not a being we can see or touch. Nobody knows where to go to find and touch God. No one has seen God at any time. God is someone you need faith to relate with. You have to believe that God exists. You have to believe substantially that God exists, even though you just hope you are right. Do you understand? That you have to believe in the evidence of God. You see, the world has reached a place where the world lives by what it can see, feel, and touch. They have a saying in the world that seeing is believing. Yeah. Do you understand? That seeing is believing. If I can see it, if I can touch it, if I can handle it, if then I can feel the substance of it. And if I can still see the substance of it, then I have evidence of its existence, so it exists. Do you understand? Now, we can't apply any of those things to God. God is not someone that can be defined by our five senses. That if I can see him, if I can touch him, if I can smell him, if I can taste him, then maybe he exists. God is someone we connect to by faith. Hallelujah. That is why when people have faith, they have taken the first step towards pleasing God. God starts to be happy with you. Because even to know him, you have to believe. You have to believe. It's believing. It's not based on something you can see, but it's based on something you truly believe on the inside. Can I have an amen? And so it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained good report. You know, the place is getting a bit warm. Can someone just turn that thing, make sure it's on? Is it on? Yeah, it's coming now. Well, I don't feel it. Because of the light, right? Okay, no problem. Amen. So, can you understand me so far?
Yes.
Right. So, faith is important when it comes to walking with God. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to have faith in walking with God. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things we do not see. So when someone is talking about something they cannot see, they are not being stupid. They are not being foolish. They are just having faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are just having faith. They are just trusting. And they're just doing what God expects of people who have faith. Hallelujah. Let me show you another verse. Let me show you another verse before we continue. Hallelujah. Verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now just pause for a moment and just look at that verse again. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Can you see something wrong with that verse right there? Because if we have to look, then we ought to be looking at what we can see. And not the other way around. But when someone is walking in faith, the Bible says they are supposed to be looking at what they cannot see rather than at what they can see.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. We do not look at the things which are seen, the things which are visible, the things which we can feel if we are walking by faith. Hallelujah. But we look rather at the things which are not seen, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when someone is walking by faith, they are walking by something that cannot be seen, but which they can see, because they are, the connection from where they are to what they are seeing is the substance called faith.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And faith causes the things that are invisible to the natural eye to become visible to you, and begin to have faith, and you begin to walk towards it because you are walking in faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So these two or three verses I've read lay a very good foundation for this teaching I am bringing to you. Amen?
Amen.
That faith is not something we see. That when someone has faith, they don't have any particular thing to base their faith on. Hallelujah. Other than what God's word says. When someone says they are walking by faith, they don't have anything in particular they're holding on to. They just have a hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They just have a dream. They just have something ahead of them. And they believe that a God they cannot see, do you see, will cause that thing which they cannot see to become substantial and to start to live in the physical realm just because they have faith in his ability to do so. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to share with you five areas of your life where you need faith. Amen. Number one, I'm not going to share all five with you today, so don't worry. Okay. Number one area where you need faith is in your relationship with God. You need faith in your relationship with God. Like I was saying at the beginning, how do you relate with a God that you cannot see? How do you, when you close your eyes and you pray, how do you even know he's there? And by the way, why do we even close our eyes when we pray? Since whether you open or close your eyes, he's not there anyway. You close your eyes so you can see what cannot be seen. All right, everybody close your eyes now. Let's see. Let's try it. Everybody close your eyes. What do you see?
Nothing.
Open your eyes. What do you see? At least you see me. Hallelujah. So to have a relationship with God, you need faith. Amen. You need faith in the fact that God exists. You see, look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hallelujah. So we don't go to God asking him, Lord, if you exist, show me that you exist. Do you understand? We don't come to God asking him to prove his existence to us. We come to God believing that he exists. God requires already for you to believe that he exists. That as you are walking towards him, you are not going to him, you are not going to God for him to give you proof of his existence, but you are supposed to come to God and already believe and have faith in his existence. And you ask, what will that belief be based on? Based on nothing, because faith is just the substance of things we hope for. It's the evidence of things we do not see anyway. Hallelujah. So as you're walking towards God, God is expecting you to believe. He says, he that comes to God must believe. It's a must. He says, you have to believe that he exists.
Amen.
Amen. It's required of you. You have to believe. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Even before the proof. Most people who become convinced about God become convinced about God after they have believed in God. Your journey with God begins with trusting him. And then as you continue with him, you become more convinced about his existence. He reveals himself to you more and more, and you become sure and surer and surer that God exists. Hallelujah. So he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists. Hallelujah. God is not in the business of proving himself or his existence to people. God has already done enough of that. Hallelujah. There is enough in life, enough in nature, enough in and around the world and around us to point to something. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whatever you call it, supreme being, the Holy One, or even simply Mother Nature. Why don't people just say nature? Why do we have to add mother? Because the thing feels substantial enough to ignore. You can't easily ignore that it must be a being. You see, so we safely call it mother. But whatever your definition of God is, the Bible says, if you come to him, you have to believe that he exists. Amen. And that he is a rewarder of people who diligently seek him. That means God rewards people who are serious about searching for him. God rewards people who are serious with their relationship with him. He's a rewarder of people who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So in your faith, in your walk with God, you're going to need to have faith. You need to have faith for your relationship with God. You need to have faith that you're going to remain a Christian. Amen. There are some of us who do not believe or who have fears that we may fall away along the way. We may fall off somewhere along the line. We may not be able to serve God consistently as we have hoped. We may not be able to continue serving God as we have begun. But you need to have faith for that journey. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to have faith that God is able to keep you. You need to have faith that God is able to keep you in the faith, and that what God has begun in you, he will continue and perfect until the end. Can I have an amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. In the book of Jude and verse 24, the Bible says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Have you seen that verse? It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, he that is able to keep you from falling, God is able to keep you from falling. So you have to have faith that you will not backslide.
Amen.
You have to have faith that 5 years from now you'll still be in the faith.
Amen.
You have to have faith that 5 years from now you'll still be in church.
Amen.
You'll still be loving God. You'll still be serving God. And you should not have fears that in 2 years you might just fall off. Hallelujah. Because God is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What that means is that one day God is going to proudly present you to himself.
Wow.
God is going to look at you and present you to himself and say, look what the blood of Jesus did.
Wow.
Look at this person that was redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He stands before me blameless and faultless and guiltless before his presence. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So your relationship with God is something you need to trust God for.
Yeah.
You need to have faith in that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Have faith that you have a relationship with God. We don't. Our relationship with God is not based on whether we can feel him.
Mm.
I know there are moments in life when you can actually feel like God is near you. Then there are some moments in life where it feels like God is not around you. Especially when things are not working out. You start to wonder, where is God? Sometimes you're praying and it feels like your furniture is listening to your prayer rather than God. Because you don't feel him in the room. You don't feel like there is God in the room. You don't feel, sometimes you pray and you can feel God, even in the church. There are days when you come to church and you can feel his presence. You can actually feel something very tangible and you kind of feel something. Then there are days when you come and you can't easily connect at all with what is going on. And you just wonder whether you are still in the faith, whether God is still God, or whether the church is still at the same location. You're not sure which of these three things is wrong. Which one is not working? But God is not designed to be analyzed and defined by our feelings. Because our feelings come and go. Our feelings are the most unreliable part of us. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes you feel very hot when everybody's cold. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. And then other times you feel very cold when everyone else is hot. See, this morning we're having a conversation. Somebody was saying that the air conditioner had been left on throughout the night at a low temperature and she felt really cold. And the other person in the same house, two rooms away, said, no, that's not true. Because she felt hot throughout the night.
Wow.
It's all based on feelings.
Wow.
Do you see? It's all just based on feelings. Feelings are unreliable. You cannot go by feelings. You cannot live your life by feelings. Sometimes people destroy their relationships and their friendships just by feelings. I feel you don't like me. So I start to relate with you and I start to respond to you based on that feeling I have. And not knowing that it is my response or reaction to that so-called feeling that is now about to ruin the relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I see you coming towards me and I avoid you because I feel you don't like me. Then you start to respond to my avoidance. And that rather ruins the relationship. So many times when we say, I feel, you need to watch your feelings because your feelings can really ruin a lot of good things for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just because you feel that way doesn't mean you are right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your feelings are not the ultimate validation of the issues of life. Life is not determined by how you feel. Just because you don't feel happy doesn't mean it's not a happy day. It is a happy day because the Lord has made it. The Bible says the only reason to be happy in a day is that the Lord has made it. David said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." He didn't say, "This is the day that I got a new job, so I'll rejoice and be glad in it." He didn't say, "This is the day that my dreams came true, and so I will rejoice and be glad in it." So long as it's a day the Lord has made, regardless of how you feel, the Bible says you are supposed to be rejoicing and you are supposed to be glad in what the Lord has given you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you must not use your feelings and rely on your feelings to assess and to evaluate your relationship with God. You must believe that God has loved you with an everlasting love, whether you feel that way or not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must believe that God cares about you, whether you feel that way or not. You must believe that God has your best interest at heart, whether you feel that way or not. Hallelujah. Because faith is the substance of things we hope for. Do you understand? It's the part of your hopes you can grab. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of the things you hope for. You hope you have a relationship with God, and your faith is the part of it that you can grab. It's the part of the relationship with God you hope you have. You hold it by holding on to your faith. So your relationship with God is as real as the faith you have. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So believe. You must believe that God cares about you. You must believe that when you pray, God hears you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must believe that when you ask God to forgive your sins, He hears you and has forgiven your sins. So, but Pastor, I still feel guilty. Well, it's back to the feelings. Amen. You may still feel guilty, but your feelings do not determine the reality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your feelings do not determine the reality. Feelings are so false. You see, I have a friend who is a doctor, and he was telling me that sometimes when he used to practice in another country, he said sometimes he would have patients who would come to him and say they feel sick. Then he would check them out, and he wouldn't find anything wrong with them. The patients are okay. The people are okay, but they insist they are sick. So he would tell them to go away, and they wouldn't go. And the patient would be asking, "I need an injection because I'm sick. And unless you do something with me, I will not get well. I do not feel well. I don't feel like I should go." So sometimes he said he would take water in a syringe and then give them a jab. So they would... He would inject a little bit of water into their body, and then they'll feel the pain and feel well. And suddenly they feel very well. You see, so you can see that the person's feelings, the person is being deceived by their feelings, just how they think and what they think about the situation. But the reality is not the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes it's the same. Sometimes you feel very far from God when God is even closest to you. Sometimes you feel like God is very angry with you, when rather God is so much in love with you. When God is looking for opportunities to reach out to you. When God is looking for opportunities to show you that He cares about you. That's when you feel the furthest from Him. That's when you feel He's the least interested in you. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So do not walk with God by your feelings. Walk with God by faith. Hallelujah. Walk with God by what the scripture says about your relationship with Him. Walk with God not according to what you feel. Walk with God according to what you know. Amen. Hallelujah. And just go by that knowledge that God has promised, I will never leave nor forsake you. God said, I will never leave nor forsake you. When God said that, he knew what you were capable of doing. Say, but well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Well, when God said, I will never leave nor forsake you, he knew what you could do. God knows what each of us is capable of doing. God is not surprised by our faults. There's none of us who can shock God. There is no behavior of yours that actually surprises him. The Bible says he knows our frame. God knows you through and through. Rather, sometimes if God is surprised at all, he's surprised that you didn't behave that way. Because he knows you. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you're likely to do. He knows who you are. He knows your tendencies. He knows your responses. He's all too familiar with you. That is why you cannot easily surprise God. Hallelujah. So our feelings of worthlessness, our feelings of dirtiness, our feelings are not the validator of our relationship with God. But what God says about you is what it is. Hallelujah. So to have faith in God means you have to believe the evidence of things not seen. You don't feel it. You don't see it. But you know that that is what it is because God said so. Can I have an amen? So how many are going to walk by faith this week? Hallelujah. I want you to walk by faith, not by sight. Don't walk by what you see. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Let's read that verse since we're in Hebrews. We were in chapter 11. So back up to chapter 10. Just back up to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Let's read that verse together. Everybody read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. Are you surprised that if you draw back, he has no pleasure in you? Because he says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hallelujah. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Not perfect people. The just simply refers to anybody who is washed by the blood of Jesus. Anybody who has had sufficient faith to believe that the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you from your sin. Hallelujah. Then you become justified. Justified. You become justified. Justification just describes the process of making you just. Hallelujah. Now, once you become just, the Bible says you live by faith. Anything you live by, you need a constant supply of that thing. So the Bible says your life is sustained by faith. You cannot do without faith. You need to be a believer. You need to be someone who believes in things, not just because you see them, but you need to believe in them because you have hope for them and because your faith gives you evidence of the existence of those things, even though you cannot see them. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the just lives by that. Hallelujah. So whether you see it, whether you feel it, whether you can touch it or not, I want you to believe. When it comes to your relationship with God, believe that God still loves you. God still cares about you. God is still interested in you. You can never fall beyond the reach of God. God still cares about you. God still loves you. God still wants you. And you are still very important to him. Hallelujah. And this is something you believe and walk in by faith. Hallelujah. And when you continue like that, you lay a good foundation to continue to build that relationship with God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here today and we'll continue next week. Hallelujah. So I want you to come back next week and we'll continue sharing about faith. But tell your neighbor, I'm going to live by faith. Say, I don't need to see it to believe it. Hallelujah. See, the world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. Wow. Hallelujah. So who are you going to go with? Seeing is believing, or believing is seeing. Hallelujah. Believe and you will begin to see so many great things in your life. Stand to your feet this afternoon and let's share a word of prayer before we leave the service. Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody, please. Let's share a word of prayer. I want you to bow your heads, everybody. And close your eyes. And let's just pray. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to commit myself to you again. Even though I can't see you, and many times I do not feel you, I understand today that my relationship with you is not based on what I can see or what I can feel. It is based on what the Bible says about you and I. And so, Lord, I want to have that relationship with you. The Bible teaches that the only thing that separates a human being from God is their sins. But then the Bible also says that God has made provision for our sin by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. So there's only one thing left to do, which is for you to believe that Jesus loves you and that he came to this earth to die for you and that his blood is the only thing that is capable of washing you from your sins and making you have that relationship with God. And if you can believe that today, you will stand in a different place where God is concerned. So while every eye is closed, and while every head is bowed, I want to give you that opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity to say, Jesus, I know that your blood can wash me and cleanse me from my sins. That Lord Jesus, I want to connect by faith. I don't need to see it. I don't need to feel it. I just need to believe it. And your blood will wash me and cleanse me from my sin. So if you're here like that, while every eye is closed, I want you to raise up your right hand. If you're saying, Jesus, wash me by your blood, just raise up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray for you. Just raise up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone who wants your sins forgiven this afternoon? You're saying, Jesus, I know you died for me and I want your blood to wash my sins. And this is something I believe by faith. It's not something I feel. It's not something I can touch, but I just believe it by faith. If you're here like that, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Now, I want everybody to join me as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in your blood. I believe by faith in your blood that only the blood of Jesus can wash a person and make them clean. Clean enough to relate with God. And so I approach you, Lord, by faith. Let your blood wash me. I apply your blood to my life. Let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering.